meadow, a field polluted, you are polluted, we pollution, and you polluting, looted, looting, a parody of betrayal. Tinnitus. Can you separate sensation from imagination? Begin with a place where time does not hurt, or put your body where your mouth is. Thirst cased down at the edge of her lips. We sleep in a real estate office, spooning and snuggling, simply because it keeps us warm and evacuated from our own fantasy.
Having grown up in this musical household, my dad was a cellist for the Philadelphia Opera Company.
Mm-hmm.
And he would get free tickets for these daytime shows during the week that were part of an education program for the city schools, the public schools in the city, where they would bring kids into the spaces to watch the dress rehearsals.
Mm-hmm.
And because I knew, like, my dad was part of the performance and I could be back in the green room and, like, goofing off
mm-hmm.
after the show, I could also hear all of the performers react to how the kids were behaving in the space,
mm-hmm.
which was so boisterous, and there was talking and there was hooting and hollering and real reactions to funny things that happened, or, like, you know, of course, in tragic opera there's lots of stuff that happens,
yeah.
but the kids would react in these, like, visceral, loud, boisterous ways, and the people who were performing in the opera loved it. They were their favorite performances because they were actually getting something from, like, the call and response, right, that we, you know, sort of were listening to at the beginning. Like, they were getting that response that they needed, that energy that they needed.
Yeah.
So there's also something, I don't know, I keep thinking a lot about the vibration being energy
mm-hmm.
as well. And like you said, like, this idea that we're supposed to go into theater and just sit and watch and then leave makes it the opposite of what it used to be.
Yeah, completely.
Right.
Completely.
And much more similar, to sitting with our phones. Even movies, when I was a kid, movies and television, I always watched with other people.
Mm-hmm.
We never were watching TV on our own, and now we're always watching TV on our own. But I don't know how, to Alina's point, like, I don't know how you bridge the gap if it's ever, it's always widening.
Mm-hmm.
Which is sad.
Can you specify the gap, or, like, the gap between audience and performer?
Or just the gap. And I feel like this is true, I'm more a visual artist, but I feel like this is true with visual art as well. Like, people just want to take a picture and move on, or take a picture and post it and move on. And that idea of sitting with
mm-hmm.
something and having that rest that you were talking about, and really waiting for, I don't know, the listener's high or the viewer's high,
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
you know, like a runner gets a runner's high, that you, people just don't take that time. They don't know how to get over that.
Yeah, and it is a question of time. I mean, we had it in the talk of mm-hmm. Danielle.
Danielle Braithwaite Shirley was talking about that in her practice and talking about that in so many exhibition spaces where the expectation is to be entertained, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so that so many viewers are hoping for this, like, real shift to, like, some kind of feeling. There's, like, expectation. But she creates these interactive installations. I don't know if anyone is familiar.
Mm-hmm.
Danielle Braithwaite Shirley, she works with gaming and creates these interactive gaming spaces that are participatory and involve sound and storytelling.
Yeah, and she what I also found interesting is that she said a motivation for her to do that was, like, because her audience was so lazy. She realized that the audience in, like, art spaces is so lazy to perceive, and that that you almost do not get them to that point anymore without a certain frame of
mm-hmm.
And I mean this, and this is, I don't want to advocate for like the White Cube Gallery, who has like some very ephemeral photographies in it, and you should like immerse yourself in that. And this is like a very white bougie understanding. But what we already had with that theater practice, for example, but and also like oratory, like storytelling practices, we had a very, very beautiful artist, guest person at the Academy of Fine Arts Nuremberg, who was invited by Sylvia Kiambi, and whose name I have to look up again, Ogutu.
Mm.
Ogutu, but I don't know the last name, made a storytelling performance with us, with like, I think it has been Yoruba techniques, storytelling.
Mm.
Mm.
And it was so much call and response in that, and you as the audience, you know, you have been comfortable in the room, and Ogutu was telling a story about like a colonial story, which then got like at some point a massive great release. And the thing that is happening is that as the audience, you get regularly called, like it's like, I think it was like, yeah, yeah, and then the audience answers, yeah, yeah, so that you're with them.
Mm.
They're just checking in that you're with them. You don't have to participate in the story, nothing. It's just a checking in, are you with me? And then you respond, yes, I'm with you. And this, like, I realized, creates a really intense, it immerses you in a very different way than immersion in the overwhelming sense of like
mm-hmm.
there's so much in the room that you cannot escape it,
mm-hmm.
that it just totally captivates you. It's not captivating you, you're very free in that and very in the story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the voice, the added voices become another texture.
Exactly.
In the space as well.
Yeah.
It's another act of disalienation.
Exactly, it's another act of practice of disalienation. Yeah. For moments,
mm-hmm.
at least. Yeah.
And I think this kind of, I don't know, inability to find joy in concentration or reception or whatever is also kind of helpfully complicating all these discussions around education,
mm-hmm.
and bourgeois education,
mm.
And how it's kind of maybe not necessarily the problem to kind of educate children in that way that they should go to the opera and enjoy, but they're also not educated to enjoy it, but kind of educated to sit silently. But there's also parts of this education is also, and I think seriously, about kind of educating them or teaching them or showing them how to enjoy such things. And that it's not necessarily a problem of that, but of the conditions how these kind of education or this kind of enabling of enjoyment is unequally available to
mm-hmm.
different people. But
mm-hmm.
it's kind of, yeah, there's often this, and I think I'm definitely also part of it, this kind of, yeah, boredom or whatever, or yeah, like it's really easy to hate on this these kind of modes of education, but I think there are parts of it that are really about finding joy in concentration,
mm.
that are very necessary for people to kind of enable themselves to
mm-hmm.
find joy in things that aren't necessarily like easy consumption of stuff that eventually makes oneself sad.
mm-hmm.
How much, though, then, is the artist responsible for doing that education? Right? So if we're not getting that education anymore in our youth because technology is changing and we don't need to have that same kind of focus or concentration,
mm-hmm.
then how do we as artists, when we're asking for that from people, how much responsibility do we have to be also educators or to have that call and response to get them back
mm-hmm.
in? Or is that just then, you know, device.
Mm-hmm. Does somebody else want to engage in that first?
I think it's a decision that you, as an artist, will have to like make, like develop a practice of making this decision again and again. Because what you're up against is also, like, it's interesting the way that you've been using the word disalienation, because in my head, sound historically has been a source of disalienation, because it comes from, I mean, not comes from a position of power, but, you know, there is somebody speaking in microphone and the rest listens.
Mm-hmm.
So history of church, polyphonic sounds, like there's an impact that, and the common man is supposed to listen, the one in power is supposed to speak. So like then you as an artist will have to like really dedicate a practice to it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
In order to make people listen.
Yeah. And it always depends on what artist you are and what you want from your practice, but I think it's very important to understand ourselves as artists always as mediators. Like, we cannot get away from this. This is like also historically the place we are in, because like before art has been established as art. I mean, art has been like a life form, you know, it was like very socially embedded, and art became art through modernity, and in this it has always been the education of the colonized, and the education of like the bourgeois. Like, it has been very much part of the of making and forming white subjectivity as the status quo, like in all its forms.
When you say art became art, like what exactly does that mean?
Like the term art, you know, is not so old. Like an artist, you have artists and you have artisans also, like in the Middle Ages, medieval, blah blah blah. But they have always been like in charge of something. They have been like working for the church. They have been working like always in a very dedicated form, you know, for the king. And then the artist has not just painted paintings, but they also did build the interior. Like, they have always been in this more artisan thing.
Craftspeople.
Yeah, craftspeople problem. Yeah, and with modernity, the artist became like a separate autonomous figure. Like, art should become autonomous from this life embeddedment or implication, because it should be it should be a form of education. This was like the new thing, the new horizon art was directed to, and before it also has been an education, but it has been a very direct education of the senses.
This is rising at the same time as this idea of culture being nationhood.
Yeah, exactly. Like it's the building of the subject of the nation state.
Yeah.
I mean, art, A-R-T, as a English word, I believe, would be recent, but I mean, we made art when the first human being of our species put their hand, blood on their hand, on a wall. So, like, creative expression, I think, or cultural production, I believe, is way more primitive than...
Yeah.
Like, even researching history of, like, sound, and so, like, we were making... Like, we as humans were making sounds on stones before we did... I mean, at a similar time as we did, like, hands on caves.
Yeah.
So, won't you say, like, it's way too old?
Yeah, but we, as people who are in here and in this program, are working towards ART, as in the English word that is involved in a capitalist system to some degree. We're not just joyfully making things on the side and then going about our peasant lives.
See, that is exactly what my question to Greg yesterday was.
Yeah, no, I know.
Because I believe we're working, like, we're making art, and not ART as in making art for the Western canon art. Like, putting art in the canon of history for the Western, so, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
I know.
Art is more universal than that. I mean, this sounds very utopian, but
I believe in that.
Yeah, probably I would say there comes the question of need in it, because, like, you know, people had a certain need to put their hands on that vase, to leave a trace, to leave, like, they're like very, a lot of needs of origination or stuff like that in these art practices and forms. But yeah, that's why I think a huge question also on that fantasy conference probably is, or leaves us with as artists again and again, is like, is it going to be art what we are producing when we want to, like, form a liberating practice out of it? Or, like, which other form, like, you know, can art stay art? And not in the sense of, like, we will do, like, channeling the creative spirit, which is, like, the most important thing ever. I think in a human's life it's super important to have and to establish this and to challenge this, also in terms of education, but not in the art as, like, the Western program of art. And I get what you mean. I mean, you're on the right side of things, in my opinion.
I hope so. But also, like, what
that's
I'm getting is
talk.
That, like, that what the argument here is that art as in... sorry, I've lost my train of thought. But not the... Like, we're going against the institutional validation of the art when the form of art takes more diverse forms, you know? Like, when it's more diverse than what we have already, like, set as, oh, this is art. Like, massaging somebody with a transducer, which is a work that I recently learned about, and I love it. I'm sure that you've heard of it, like, massage through a transducer.
Yeah.
So, like, that 10, 15 years ago, no, 20, 30 years ago, wouldn't be art, I would say. But now it is. So, like, that, is that the argument, right?
Right. But then also, why did it become art? Why did it become art?
Art with a capital.
Why does art evolve to collect and swallow all these different forms that are then, what, sellable, available in a gallery? Like, what is...
I find your curiosity about education very interesting, because how do you... Yeah.
Yeah. No, I know. But that's why I'm working through it just like you.
Hmm.
Right? And it's the question of... And I think maybe, what did Dredd say yesterday in response?
Mm.
It was like, oh, well, you can go somewhere else. You can go to London.
Yeah.
You can go. And I didn't like that answer. And
it was a little naive,
Yeah, and it didn't seem to really be answering what you were asking. But my question would be, like, to your point of if we're trying to liberate, or if we're trying to mediate and inform or just give some what we have made to others, like, what form does that take? And sometimes I think that that doing that through the institutions reaches more people, and that's okay.
100%.
And then sometimes I think that just handing someone you love something that you created out of your creative spirit is also that too, and I would consider that art. But I also think there's a whole other level which has to do with class. Like you were saying,
capitalism
and taste.
And feeding yourself, you know.
Patronage.
And some people have the means and the time to make work and never sell anything, or never make it to any level where they can get a grant or anything. And some people don't. And so those are different. Like the options for people are different, all over the place, all over the globe.
Yeah, it's a question of work that comes in very significantly. It's the question of if we want to go there right now, I think, or I would highly recommend, if you're interested in these questions, to come to Marina Wischmidt.
Marina Wischmidt?
I can write it down for you. You can share it. Who was a theorist who... just recently sadly died. But wrote a lot about these infrastructural questions and around the question of how did art came into play of this nation building subject, mm-hmm. and what it has to do with work on a very material life basis. So that's very important, and I think like it doesn't come. I mean, of course, it comes when you talk about sound. I think sound as a medium, or like as a form of mediation or relation, complicates things very differently than image producing, for example. Mm-hmm. And I mean, you find this in every. You can find like, and I think it's also very specific that we immediately came to disalienation as a term, because you can find this through like, and it's a term. Maybe it's good to say, which is very shaped by Frantz Fanon,
yes,
as like a decolonial practice,
mm-hmm.
Or like which Frantz Fanon said, this is the only horizon, which is the liberating horizon of the white and the black subject. Mm-hmm. And thinking like about disalienation as the horizon of our practice, and also about disalienation as the horizon of our forms of education we want to use, just shapes our practice very instantly. And then it may be, I mean, it will be harder and harder to do that in the institutions at the point we're at right now. So to think about how we want to establish this in our art practice and integrate it in a social context is probably a very necessary and interesting one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've had a lot of fun kind of following along, because like I feel like one sort of way for me to frame how I'm listening to this conversation is like my relationship to this institution and this space, because I was a music major here,
mm-hmm.
5-6 years ago, and now I'm most active in very DIY, like underground experimental spaces, and like I've like kind of found like an ethos and like of abundance in those spaces, which is sort of, there's this undercurrent of scarcity because we don't have money, so
mm-hmm.
in some way, not entirely, it becomes that it's not about money in some way. Sometimes, ideally. and I think usually that enables like a sort of feeling of abundance, like you can play anything, you can
mm-hmm.
yeah, really play anything in any space, any sound system,
mm.
and like and I think there's something really liberating there, and I think where I am currently is like, as I'm trying to extract my financial independence from food service, I'm like, oh, is there money in like creating, you know, like, so I labeled like a sound artist, which like
mm-hmm.
I'm like kind of like, that feels kind of accurate. I like just saying that I do things with sound because that feels more honest.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, my like relationship around institutions and money, I think I'm like trying to not have such a binary, like antagonistic relationship to it. And okay, and another thought I had was like how I think finding this sort of more like DIY ethos around sound, one way that it's inspired me as well as starting to field record is feeling like you can be immensely creative just by how you listen in like
mm.
any space, like really any space ever. I find one of the most disorienting things is to listen in a crowded room, like say before a concert, before an event, for anything, just trying to catch. It's almost like listening to water, you know,
mm.
but like
mm-hmm.
it's more disorienting because you actually want to like hone in. Trace the voice. But yeah, I just felt like there was so much coming up like in this conversation. I really
mm-hmm.
enjoyed listening to it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You are listening to The Sound of Language on WRCT Pittsburgh, produced by the students in Contextual Practice Seminar. The views, thoughts, and opinions expressed in the show are solely those of individuals involved and do not necessarily express those of WRCT Pittsburgh or its members.
Where am I?
You're on the radio. You're on the radio. What an opportunity to be valuable to the people who should mean a lot to you. I'm talking about all your secret friends over the airwaves. You're on the radio too.
You are on the radio with WRCT Pittsburgh.
Listening to WRCT Pittsburgh.
Depois desta vida vai vir a outra. Depois desta vida vai vir a outra. Depois desta vida vai vir a outra.
Welcome back to another episode of Loja do Mestre André, where we dive deep into the world of Portuguese music. Today we'll dive into the discography of one of the most prominent rappers and musicians in Portugal today, Slo J. In his own words, Slo J is a mix. João Coelho, his birth name, was born in Setúbal, the city of my district, actually. The son of a Portuguese mother and an Angolan father. He grew up moving from place to place in and out of Portugal and connected with all kinds of cultures while searching for himself. Music has always been an intimate travel companion. That's how he defines himself in his label's website, Sente Isto, Feel This. And today we will hear from his three full-length LPs. First, The Art of Slowing Down from 2017, then You Are Forgiven from 2019, and his most recent project, Afro Fado, released in November 2023. His music can be naively labeled as hip-hop, but as he says, Slo J is a mix of fado, samba, hip-hop, rock, and so many other influences. To me, he's simply one of the best Portuguese rappers, singer-songwriters, producers, and lyricists who's helped shatter barriers and prejudice about Portuguese music and cultural identity. We're already listening to one of the tracks of his first LP, The Art of Slowing Down, the final track actually, called Mundança, which means change, but it's also a pun on the words mundo and dança, world, dance. And it's clear already here how he mixes some of his African influences into his music. Stick with me for a full hour of Slo J and his music.
Depois desta vida vai vir a outra. Da verdade pura, dura, à procura da sanidade. Do outro lado da loucura, diz o monge que a verdade cura, jura. Mas por mais que eu sorria, volta sempre chuva. E volta a ser humano, e para onde é que ele volta?
Se não és rico, nem pobre, nem preto, nem branco, qual a camisola, brother? Só me isola, brother. Estão-me a meter etiquetas, gavetas, só tretas para ver se a minha sola cola. Isto é de sol a sol, o meu caminho a mim pertence. Isto é para toda a gente e eu repito, toda a gente. Nada nos une, nada nos separa, preso, penso. Teoria insana em que eu vivo clinicamente tenso. Eu estou pronto para conversarmos a sério. E se eu tiver errar o passo no terraço do prédio, dá-me a verdade crua e cristalina, dá-me a tua perspectiva à chave. Eu já nasci com o olho fechado. Isto não é comida, broda, mas espero que te alimente. A fome desta alma que aguça o meu pensamento. A abrupta voz da calma nunca dorme, nunca mente. Passado no alimento ao meu presente. Eu paro o tempo, por noite raramente em casa a cota senta, falo. Meus putos no café já dizem que eu esqueci da malta. Eu acho que senti saudade até uma certa idade, mas lá para a sétima mudança o sentimento é claramente bloqueado. Pela cabeça eu estava mais calado, puta anestesiado, meu pai está informado. Chegava a casa a cada dia, 10 anos cansado. 20 anos, 30 anos, nunca ouvi queixar-se. Evita um pouco 18 anos dessa fé dos outros. Se Deus alguma vez me ouviu, não me culpou pelos loucos. Amargurado, já fui tão manipulado que hoje em dia eu nunca sei se sou culpado, então eu nunca paro. Eu sempre fui diferente, eu não escolhi prová-lo. Eu minto raramente a gente que me ouviu no rádio. Exatamente o mesmo que me mente a mim, o sábio. O mesmo que me minto ao espelho, tão dúbio o meu lábio. Eu dava tudo por frases de Hemingway e por falar comigo próprio honestamente, como eu sei que poderei um dia vir a ser, eu acredito. Eu sou o meu pior inimigo. O que eu não consigo é aceitar as minhas falhas, ver o ser humano, pensar na escada passo a passo. Quanto tempo tenho? Chama-me hipócrita, perguador de calma incógnita a mim próprio. Evito viver sóbrio, evito ver castanho. Nego ser ignorante, nego ser abençoado. Nego limites, não me imites, acabarás magoado. Nego doutores e horas de sono aconselhado pela ciência. Bem, bom dia, tem bem mais que 24. Quarto, parto, dar-te um lar, tirar-te. Eu vivo vidas entre linhas, já estou encarnado. Achei que isto era really real rap do Tibete. Vai dizer ao Dalai Lama que hoje eu estou a iluminar a track, nigga. Piso para todo ser humano que procura paz. Eu estou à procura da minha e tanta falta faz. Hoje eu estou num daqueles dias em que é complicado. Pensei em enrolar a minha e deixar-te um recado. Tu és da rima ou do canto, tu és preto ou és branco, tu vais para qual das gavetas? Concentra-te no importante, seu viver irrelevante. Leva daqui que eu vivo e dá cada instante, em cada nota do piano, em cada frase natiana que eu decorei. Cada beat da Dr. Dre, cada kid, cada track de K-Dot Rap de tentar. Se não foi para Legendary, foi para quê? Antes da ponta, a gana ponta no caderno, o teu porquê. Se não der para acabar com a fé, mas sem te romper. Quem sabe aos domingos atacarmos o buffet e chegar a velhinho, chemos quente. Dentes sorridentes, lentes mesmo, orgulhosamente. Como cotas no presente, só se encontram raramente. Isso assusta-me. E muitas outras coisas igualmente. Porque eu não faço sons, nunca ousarei ser tão eloquente. Eu só rezo por música diferente. Eu nunca fui goloso, só quis algo mais que amigo. Fazer ao Rui Veloso o que o Ronaldo fez com o Figo. Fome de ser coloso, circulou e o ser coloso ao ser que só queria ser feliz, mesmo que sem abrigo. Eu devo ser um ser antigo, para parecer-me deves parecer-te só contigo. Eu devo ser um ser antigo, para parecer-me deves parecer-te só contigo. Ligo Mike, barro pão, 80 barras para degustação. Já ninguém me agarra sem a vocação. Isto é decoração, designs finos do interior. Ninguém faz isso por amor, não por bajulação. Icónico é o ócio de homens que desdenham o lógico da corja pela imaginação. O tópico é um tópico, utópicos nos trópicos. És cómico e tens escutação. Eu sou um homem ou uma mutação. Eu sou o ótimo, o óbito da perfeição. Eu não me prendo nessa caixa, sou libertação. Eu não sou quieto, eu só ostento a minha lentidão. Dá-me uma prenda e sente a pulsação. Meu mano aguenta tudo o que é pressão. Forjada aço no meu braço, eu tenho traços de quem nunca faz as pazes com essa estagnação. Hoje eu aprendo mais uma lição. Isto nem é demo, só demonstração. Assim que eu encho tracks tipo bolsos, mãe, 97, 98, 99, 100. Thank you.
Quando eu deixar de ser um inútil, eu aviso. Quando me pagarem para esquecer o que eu preciso. Quando me apagarem da memória tudo o que eu senti até esquecer que sinto. Só não há tempo para isso, é preciso para eu pagar as contas, saldar as contas, esquecer as contas, fuder as contas, contar as contas, contas com quem é. Quanto é só tu contigo? Quem vai contar contigo? Meu pai trabalhou para ti a vida toda. Side effects da disciplina do gênio, em dívida de oxigênio. Ele olhou por mim a vida toda. Agora o Jota não deve nada, cala a boca. Eu tudo o que eu sou. Eu devo à terra toda, o oxigênio compra, o oxigênio compra, o oxigênio compra.
Lo que estamos gastando es tiempo de vida, porque cuando yo compro algo, o tú, no lo compras con plata, lo compras con el tiempo de vida que tuviste que gastar para tener esa plata. La única cosa que no se puede comprar es la vida. La vida se gasta, se gasta.
Pagar as contas, saldar as contas, esquecer as contas, foder as contas, contar as contas, contas com quem é. Quando é só tu contigo, quem vai contar contigo?
Tudo o que eu os digo é pagar as contas, pagar as contas. Ninguém sai da praga com placarta aqui do paga, só pagam-te, cala a boca. Eles cagam contos, enquanto fazem marketing ao rabo, a tua matemática acaba-se, acabas broke. E tu pagas roubos, não declara o crime. Isso é real life, não são os livros, mesmo Tarantino. Porque a gente enrola para solucionar a cana, enquanto outros enrolam para solucionar a carapinha. Há que pagar as contas, what the fuck devias esperar? Deixa-me procurar a versão mais simples. Estou a trazer um Tupac à década do rap trap. E quando eu pego no rap, eu levo a década e visão na shit. Está com a mama boom desde a 7 às 7 e às 7. Se não tiver no bolso, depois o chefe não chega. A chefe paga tarde, mano, e porque é que não chega? Chega mais cedo e a mentalidade seca, chega, chega, chega. Há que pagar as contas.
Yeah. Yeah. Quanto mais tens, mais te cobram. Quanto mais alto estás, mais te dobram.
Banca.
Ainda dói mais quando assopram. Sustentamo-nos com migalhas e só as que sobram.
Banca.
Banca a paz, o amor e a liberdade.
Banca,
banca o gás, a água e a eletricidade.
Banca.
Um gado trouxe barato, um filho que foi jogado. Foda-se as portagens do caminho para a felicidade.
Banca.
Sabes que és o L mais fraco. Entre as cedo e sais tarde. A espera que o cheque mata essa dívida majestade. Em modo Kill Bill a tentar aumentar a stack. A paca fala, mas a puta fala com o stack. Outro biso, outro pescado. Força até soltar um crack. Tentei tudo, dei para tu peito e venho aqui com um bocado. Cansei de pitar areia, imaginando a sereda. Eu pensei que o fim das barracas, mas vou chegar a barraco.
Tá aí, boludo, essa merda toda. Caso,
aposto que até no céu um gajo vai ter que prestar contas.
Caso,
então enterrem com os meus recibos ao lado das minhas contas.
Caso,
quando é só tu contigo, quem é que vai contar contigo?
Caso,
wait till I get my money right, motherfucker. Depois eu digo.
Pagar as contas, saldar as contas, foder as, esquecer as, pagar as contas.
That was Pagar as Contas featuring Jason and Papillon. Pagar as contas means paying the bills. And before that, we heard Comida, Food, and it's just a track where Slow J is at its peak. His flow is impeccable, and he's just spitting bars all over. I think Food here stands for Food for Thought, a little bit. And where he talks, he... what shirt he wears, what drawer does he fit into, and he's talking about being mixed race, son of a Portuguese mother and an Angolan father, And even in his music, he's talking about he doesn't like labels for his music. He also talks about doing to Rui Veloso what Ronaldo made to, what Ronaldo did to Figo, which I think it's an awesome line. And I promise I will bring Rui Veloso here as well to my show.
When it comes to vaping, the truth can get clouded. So let's make it clear. Vaping is not safe for kids, teens, or young adults. It's just not.
Because vaping can put microscopic particles into your lungs.
And dangerous things like metals and volatile organic compounds into your body.
And nicotine, the same highly addictive substance found in regular cigarettes.
Nicotine can harm a person's brain development through their mid-20s.
Affecting learning, memory, attention, and impulse control. And priming the brain for other addictions.
Vaping products also come in kid-friendly flavors that can make them appealing to youth.
And many kids also use other drugs, like marijuana, in vaping devices.
With appealing flavors, high nicotine levels, and lots of promotion on social media,
many kids think vaping is harmless, but it's not.
So talk to your kids about the risks of vaping, because when you talk, they hear you.
For more information, visit underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
Moving on, we're going to continue with The Art of Slowing Down. Next track is called Vida Boa, A Life That's Good, where Slow says he doesn't want a good life, he wants a life that's good. Hope you enjoy.
Não quero uma boa vida, eu quero uma vida boa. Nada do caminho assim na diz foi escrito à toa. Não quero uma boa vida, eu quero uma vida boa. Uma vida boa. Uma vida boa. Pobre nem banhado em cobre. Eu aprendi que o que me cobre não me torna nó. Eu digo o quê? Eu digo o quê? Eu digo que é fome. O contrarrelógio dizem que é lógico. Que é guita que faz com que o meu planeta roda. Agora aguenta com. Bebo uma bote fede. Só na fé porque segunda à noite no café. A dor vai dar igual a terça, quarta, quinta e até chegar a sexta e conversar com Deus do Lucifer. Pai, eu tento e lamento, mas não sei porquê. Numa selva de cimento eu não sei ver o que o tempo trouxe lento para não me perder, para não me esquecer que eu não. Não quero uma boa vida, eu quero uma vida boa. Nada do caminho assim na diz foi escrito à toa. Não quero uma boa vida, eu quero uma vida boa. Uma vida boa. Uma vida boa. Sangue ou não, se o coração bate pela mesma razão, mesma canção. Família à volta da mesa. Comida, água, teto, ser feliz e ter afeto. Não é rap, nunca é rap, é sonhos escritos num caderno. Se dorme ao meu lado, eu sei que caga, fuma, fode, pede. Dispenso plástico, é mais do que esta hot pad. Eu quero a musa e quero a música aquecer-me os pés. Pai, eu tento e lamento, mas não sei porquê. Numa selva de cimento eu não sei ver o que o tempo trouxe lento para não me perder, para não me esquecer que eu não. Não quero uma boa vida, eu quero uma vida boa. Nada do caminho assim na diz foi escrito à toa. Não quero uma boa vida, eu quero uma vida boa. Uma vida boa. Uma vida boa.
Yeah.
mais baço que o chão das palavras escritas no para-brisa. As vistas do retrovisor, vou traçando linhas da fome ao encher da barriga, do medo à fé, meu amor. Eu queria ser como os grandes cantores, dos palcos gigantes, aplausos, vénias e aplausos. Eu queria ser como só tu consegues. Conta-me os teus segredos. Apaixono-me por quem nunca se apaixona por mim. Fico um caco estragado, agarrado, e eu acho que acabo sozinho assim. Num palco onde o riso do povo confunde a comédia e o drama de quem é tão estranho que esconde o que ama no peito. Eu
Mas isso não é death grip, black rap, cap rap, black bag, deck rap, progressive, aggressive. You in the S, lessive, lessive, progressive, mano.
Diz-me se é.
Casa é o mundo inteiro.
cidade pode entrar quem quer. É misturar casa o mundo inteiro. Casa em todo lado pode entrar quem quer. É misturar casa o pra que querer complicar. Lá em casa qualquer corta. Mistura em música. Eu sou meu fado, yeah. Eu sou meu samba, yeah. Eu sou meu fado, yeah. Eu sou meu samba, yeah.
This track was called Casa, House or Home, where Slow J is talking about why complicate things at home. Any color works. Mix the music. This is my fado. This is my samba. Fado, of course, being the most well-known Portuguese genre, and samba being an Angolan genre of music. Before that, we heard Art, where his rock influences are very apparent as well. WRCT, supported by Attic Records, located in Millvale. Attic Records is open 7 days a week. They sell new and used records and CDs from a range of genres, including rock, doo-wop, metal, reggae, and hip-hop. Attic Records is an independently owned and operated shop that purchases used records and CDs from collectors in bulk or by unit. Attic Records is located at 513 Grand Avenue in Millvale. More information about selling records and new releases is available at 412-821-8484 or at atticrecordstoreinc.com. If you are interested in underwriting for WRCT, you can email pr@wrct.org for more information about promotional exchanges and other partnership opportunities. We're going to continue with the music with the track Fam, short for Family, featuring Papillon. This time from his second full-length LP, You Are Forgiven, from
2019. Casa dá pra mangop, dá pra palop. Mapa não cobra esta raça de dog. Casa eu encontro onde param os meus bros. Uma família, mas todas as cores. J no bloco, entrada em top. Ninguém entende se puto só sopa. Oficialmente entendi se é takeover, bro. No mundo inteiro, cobiça uma sopa, não é igual. Eu não nasci na banda, mas piso para algo tipo que anda a fazer propaganda. É uma metade de mim. Eu nunca quis o fama, nem quer saber quantas chavala tinha a tua cama. Isso não é nada aqui. Essa merda é real, é tudo pra mim. Esse blá blá não funciona aqui. Eu já não procuro ter alibi. Deixa eu contar só tudo que eu vi.
Deixa eu juntar minha família.
Yeah, essas depois. Traz quem tu quiseres pra mim. Onde como, como é tu.
Deixa eu juntar minha família.
Yeah, essas depois. Traz quem tu quiseres pra mim. Onde como, como é tu. Maria nunca foi poeta, era analfabeta. No dia de ele ensinou com galheta e fez dela profeta. Ela disse que a vida é como andar de bicicleta. Meu sobrinho, enquanto tiveres a pedalada, aproveita. Quando ela chama pra vir pra mesa, ela que acaba toda a tristeza. Só uma passada.
Essas depois,
outras lindos desejos pra mim. Onde como somos dois.
Deixa ajudar a minha família.
Yeah.
Desejo por